Yeah, man, tough loss last night for the Braves, but they win another series. And as we said before the break, Abe, if I had told you, I guess what, a week and a half, 10 days ago, yeah. that somehow the Braves would play the Dodgers and the Cubs, and you'd lose the Chris Sale start, you probably figured not going to win those series, but they found a way. You know, and the Cubs pitching is good. It's a good baseball team, and last night they just couldn't get anything going.
Well, and what happened that maybe you weren't counting on? And I'm looking, and I'm going to parlay this into what we could see tonight. We didn't think Spencer Strider was going to be that good a week ago against the Dodgers.
And he was so clutch in a high-pressure situation.
And he's going again tonight, and now it's like a carryover thing. Like, what are we going to get from him? Is he going to look as good as he did against the Dodgers? But right. if you had told me that Spencer Strider was going to look as good as he could, I can afford Sale to not, you know, whatever happened against the Dodgers. And then, again, following that up, Bryce Elder going on Saturday for the Braves against the Red Sox. Bryce Elder has been among the six or seven best pitchers in all of baseball statistically.
Right.
And I know it doesn't always look the same.
No, it's but again, the idea that, you know, working with Greg Maddux and just soaking up, sponging up, you got all these Cy Young Award winners and Hall of Famers, you know, in the Braves rotation from the back in the day. Let's ask Grant about it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll start there. First off, Grant, we know the Cubs were good last night, a credit to their pitching effort. Their bullpen is good. They put money in it in the offseason. And just one of those nights where just a couple of singles, nothing was dropping. Real quick, though, the Kim error really irked me because I'm still not sure who he was, where that ball was going, but I guess it happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that does happen, but that doesn't mean it's any less, you know, annoying, I think was probably the word that I used. And I use that about the Mariners series loss, for that matter. It's just kind of annoying. But when you're having as good a season as the Braves have, you know, things like that, things like pickoffs, you want to clean it up. You don't want to see it over and over again. But ultimately, I guess you can kind of forgive. And it's tough to win if you don't score a run. So there was that whole thing.
Grant, Spencer Strider was outstanding last time out against the Dodgers. Gets a chance to see him again tonight. What are we maybe looking for tonight that worked against the Dodgers? If we're looking for him to double down, have another strong outing, what are you looking for from Strider tonight?
I think more of the same consistency from that execution standpoint. And that I really feel like is the difference between pitching in a place that's more neutral, like a Dodger Stadium, versus Coors Field, where you just don't get the same movement and things don't feel quite the same. And you have to work a little bit extra to kind of, you know, come up with a game plan that works at altitude. He didn't have to do all that in L.A. So I think that, as much as anything, might have been a bit of a relief for him. He didn't have to be overly reliant on his curveball because his slider wasn't working. He wasn't worrying about the walks. He was able to limit those. So if he's in and around the strike zone, he's sitting 96, 97, up to 98 miles an hour. I mean, that velocity will play, I can tell you that. And if he's getting the movement on the fastball that he has and that he did against the Dodgers and uses his other pitches the way that he carved up that lineup, then I think we could see a lot of the same things we saw in the last start for Spencer Strider tonight against the Red Sox.
Another thing that I guess you were there in the scrum, Grant, when Walt Weiss was speaking with the media. It's not that he's throwing cold water on it, but he says when Ronald Acuna can play the field, that's when he'll come back. So what do you think that means as far as when we'll see him?
Yeah, I think that kind of could be – it could be the Miami series. It could be the series after. And it's not going to – we're not talking about like a months-long, you know, issue here, but there's just really no reason to push it. They don't want to bring him back and him not be able to play the field. And then even though, yes, you could have Ronald DHing, is he truly ready to be running the bases and doing all of the other things as well? I don't know that the answer to all those questions is yes. And when you're doing as much as the Braves have done, in spite of, you know, not having him and some other players at times this year, you can kind of afford to be cautious. And I think you have to with him, right? It's almost like an extra layer of, all right, we want to be not just sure, but completely sure that he's ready to do all the things we need him to do. And they have been playing an outfielder down, really. Yes, they have Jose Ozocar up here, but that's not a long-term solution either. So I would anticipate as soon as Ronald's able to get out there, play the field, and really feel no limitations whatsoever that we'll see him, it could just be another 5, 6, 7 days.
Grant, this is a little convoluted of a question here, but I want you to follow me on this because you're so great at analyzing baseball. I kind of want you to analyze the mindset of the fans in regards to this next question because we do get another chance to see Bryce Elder, who's been outstanding. But Bryce Elder's career to this point has been what it has been, and then obviously this year he has looked different. So from the fans' perspective, in your opinion, when is it like kind of fair to stop wondering if there is a fall-off coming, if this is just what we're getting, and kind of move past that and kind of just being like, hey, we've struck gold here and it's awesome?
Well, I would also kind of flip it around and say maybe it could be the the age-old adage that goes with every fan, you know, fan base of every sport, what have you done for me lately? And what has Bryce Elder done for the Braves lately? He's done a lot of great things, and it's starting to become a larger and larger sample size, and that, I think, kind of is to the point that you're asking, when can you start to trust it? Well, when he just does it more times than not, and that's really been the case this year, and you can really track it back to final seven starts of last year. So now we're looking at about a half a season's worth of starts altogether, you know, 14, 15 starts of a much different-looking Bryce Elder than we saw the first 15 or 20 starts of last year, and at times really since the second half of his 2023 season. I did a deep dive on this and wrote an article a couple of weeks ago about it, and it has a lot to do with the fact that we're not seeing the same Bryce Elder this year that we were seeing even last year or the year before, because he has changed the way that he pitches. He has changed the mindset behind how he pitches, and those are real tangible changes. And look, this is not a guy who's on the wrong side of 30 bouncing around between five or six different teams just trying to catch lightning in a bottle. He's still a relatively young pitcher. He just had to take some lumps to figure out how to get to where he's gotten. So as much as anything, I look at this as a lot of perseverance for Bryce Elder. He kind of stepped into a void last year where the Braves just needed somebody to take the ball, good, bad, or indifferent. They had to cover some innings, and he did that. And by doing so, I think it created some good faith to allow him to work on some things, and now we're seeing the result of a lot of hard work.
Grant McCall is with us, guys, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Yeah, just loving, and again, I did not have Bryce getting this good, Grant, on my bingo card and looking so dialed in. Speaking of getting dialed in, you mentioned Strider. We'll see Bryce on Saturday. Sunday, I got tickets. So, Grant Holmes, is there any degree of pressure on him to get through the fifth inning, or that's the way it's going to be with Grant? They just assume that's going to be a lean into the bullpen start.
No, I would hope that you don't have to. And he'd been kind of, I think, efficient, if you will, early in that start against the Cubs, and then the control just kind of got away from him. And, you know, he had been a little bit, I think, you know, extra rest, so maybe he didn't want to push it too far. And, you know, Didier Fuentes doing what he did certainly takes the pressure off of that. So maybe you look at this as a situation where if you're going to use Fuentes, you're trying to put him into positions where he can succeed, where you can give him multiple innings because you want to keep that pitch count up. And you kind of have, for all intents and purposes, a bit of an insurance policy. Now, on the flip side of that, yes, you would like to see Grant Holmes throw at least five, if not six innings. That would certainly be nice. And then you could hand the final three or four over maybe to Fuentes if they want to go that route. If they can go that route and they don't have to use Fuentes in some other way, shape, or form before you get to Sunday. But I think that Holmes, you know, it just continues to be the process of trying to work his way through the lineup the second and third time through, and that's a bit of a challenge for him. And ultimately, as we look at what this looks like when the Braves get other starting pitchers back in rotation, maybe he's going to be a guy who ends up helping you in the bullpen because he has an elite-level slider as a swing-and-miss pitch, and he can throw multiple innings. So you could use him as a two-inning option out of the pen if you need to, or just come in and get some swing-and-miss. So I don't know that his role is going to be starter all year long, to make a long story as short as I can, but right now you just need him to cover some innings and do the best that he can to get you in a position where you're not taxing the bullpen every time he goes out there.
Again, can't argue with the results. Never thought to see the Braves like this. We were joking a few times today, Grant, the idea that you'd lose two sale starts and still take the series from the Dodgers and the Cubbies. That's like the sort of sum of its parts thing I love about this team. By the way, do you think there is going to be a priority? I know every day I ask Grant, it's only May, and I'm fast-forwarding to August, but you think they're going to be cool with Dubon in left field, or you think they try to improve that?
As for right now, I think that they're cool with Dubon playing a role on this team. And I did ask Walt Weiss about this a couple of days ago, about just the overall value that Dubon brings. And he's played his way into a larger role, and he's come through with some big hits. He's been more than just a versatile glove for this team. So can that last for 162 games? I don't know. Can you find ways to get better and you just kind of cross that bridge when you get there and find the right deal? I think that's probably more so the answer to that. But I think we've also seen and needed to see this past week in this Cup Series especially, Mike Yastrzemski has started to come through with some big hits and looks a little bit more comfortable. So if you got Yastrzemski hitting and Dubon, then you feel a little bit better about that situation in general.
Yeah, he's crushing righties. You're right about that. Grant, where can folks hear your show this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend I will be on from 5 to 7 here on 92.9 The Game for 2 hours. It's from the Diamond. I will have Braves hitting coach Tim Hyers, as well as a slew of other Braves just kind of talking about what the offense has done this year to level up over last year and also my visit with Braves Hall of Famer Javi Lopez to share some reflections on the Bobby Cox years in the 1990s. So a lot of good stuff coming your way from the Diamond, 5 to 7 p.m. on Sunday, wherever you get your podcast and on the Odyssey app.
Sorry, follow-up. I'm like, one more thing. Did he fix Austin Riley, or what, how did Austin Riley snap out of it?
I have talked to Austin Riley about this, and look, it just continues to be the process of hard work, and everybody, I think, has their own different style of adjustment. And for Austin, I think that, like I've talked about for quite a while, he was just kind of caught in between on his approach in some ways. The swing is good. The swing, I think, is where it needs to be. It's just finding, you know, the time in the count to really attack certain pitchers and do that maximum damage. And it does appear like the month of May has shown us some good things from Austin Riley.
Great stuff, Grant. We'll be listening on Sunday, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
You got it. Grant McCauley, best baseball man in town. We'll come back. Channel 2 says, driver's brace for Friday night closure of two-mile stretch of I-285. I can't stay home. See, it's going to be traffic mageddon. You're denying it.
Two miles, Mike.
Two miles on the perimeter, like it's nothing.
It's 14
You just created a black hole in the perimeter.
14 minutes on foot, Mike. 14 minutes on foot. Let's go.
You got to slide through the hood, bro.
Yeah, you do.
All right. Then it's 13 minutes on foot.
I mean, you might be able to find some swag. Hey, man, we'll come back. We'll talk about that. We'll also get you up to speed on what's going up in Pennsylvania at the PGA Championship. Who are these fuzzy foreigners leading this thing? Next.